All right, Commissioner, it is a little after 2. We have 82 participants. Would you like to get started?
Yes, I would. And, you know, I appreciate the time. And Jen, thanks again for setting it up. And I'm feeling particularly tech unsavvy. I've been on the phone this whole time and, you know, you guys are doing things on the screen. I'm hoping to remedy that. I don't know that anybody needs a photograph of or an image of me, but I'll try to make sure that I'm connecting the same way you guys all are. And I appreciate the fact that you're hosting this platform and the ability to do this. So thank you for that. You know, I did want to note also that because we are using this platform, these calls are recorded. It's important that we make you aware of that. It's also important for us to let you know that the recorded calls, the recordings will be posted on our website as a reference for people to use as they go forward. So I appreciate that. I think one other thing we also do regularly is we make sure that if you do have questions during the course of the time, we try to make sure those get answered in one of two ways. One is you're emailing Jen Peterson, who I know has put her email address out so that in real time, if the question comes in, folks can do it. And then at the end, if we're still not able to get the question, there'll be some time to unmute yourself and to, ask the question directly. So we have a few updates, but usually the way we start is always, I think we've been very fortunate each week to be joined by Jane Downing of the EPA's drinking water program. And she's had some very important updates in the recent past week. So I might ask Jane to maybe say a few words from the EPA perspective.
Thank you, Commissioner. And thank you, Jen. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you. I think I'm going to start with, first of all, I know I state the obvious, but we really want to thank all of you who are listening today and everybody in the water sector. You are amazing. You are essential. You are heroic, and you are so dedicated, even more so during this public health crisis. This week is Drinking Water Week. So we don't want to let that go without acknowledging it. And today or soon, EPA wants to send out something on social media. Many of you have sent in pictures, which have been tremendously inspiring. We wish we could use all of them, but we will save for as many presentations as we can coming up. So thank you for that. Look for something to come out on social media. Again, we wish we could give you all a hug, but consider it a virtual hug for now. We are just so inspired by all that you do every day, and we want to make sure you know that, like Mass DEP and the Mass Water Works, we are here for you as well. And speaking of help, let's go back to the notification that there should be tens of thousands of cloth masks available to utilities throughout the state, both drinking water and wastewater. We hope soon to have more specifics on that. The first job is to get the shipments into the state. And then I know the commissioner has worked very hard with the association and many, many utilities to come up with a really good plan to get it distributed throughout the state. So hopefully soon, we'll be able to give you the green light to get that distributed. And with that, I think I'll send it back over to the commissioner. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane. And thank you for the reminder. Drinking Water Week. Obviously I echo your statements of appreciation. And we have, as Jane also noted, been getting ready for the delivery of the cloth masks. DEP, Kathy Baskin, Amy Finch, Kristen Diveris, Nick Child have been putting together, working with the utilities that have agreed to be you know, the places where these cases first land, to make sure we have a plan to receive them and then to very promptly distribute them. So I really want to thank, you know, all of our partners in the, that have been working with us primarily. You know, Jen Peterson has played a very big role here. Our colleagues at the MWRA, at Greater Lawrence Sanitary District, Brewster Water Department, the Upper Blackstone folks, Worcester Water, Springfield Water and Sewer Commission, and others. So thank you for that. And hopefully people took the time to fill out their surveys, or maybe there's still time to fill out the survey while we're waiting, that DEP and others have pushed out in terms of needs. Again, we're going to be standing by to make sure that when the masks arrive, we're prepared to receive and then in turn distribute them to all of you. So we'll stay in touch. It's we're just waiting now and continuing to get ready for it. So, you know, thank you for that. In addition, when we start these calls, we also take a moment to talk about licensing. I know we've had, I think we have Mike Maynard on the line as well. Mike, if there are any updates you'd like to provide to unmute and maybe give us a few updates from the Board of Licensure.
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, just a couple quick things. Thank you for all this, for this opportunity to fill you in on some of the things from DPL and the board. Testing centers will be open on May 18th. That was confirmed with ABC and PSI. The board has processed all temporary emergency certification applications that were complete. There are still four incomplete applications that DPL has reached out to the systems to get additional information so we can process those. And we have been receiving requests for online trainings. I know we've received one from Mass Waterworks, New England Waterworks, RCAP Solutions, and Mass Rural Water Association. So that is hopefully gonna fill some of the need for online trainings that we'll be issuing TCHs for. And I think that's about it for now.
Okay, terrific. Well, thank you for that. We're continuing to, at MassDEP, update our question and answer page on our website. Some of the questions and answers that we talked about last week, including, you know, the notification requirements, you know, questions about CCR, things like that, will be up, we hope, in the next day or two. We're finishing up writing all those things up that I think Damon was talking about with all of you last week. In addition, we have guidance up on you know, a number of topics on the website. And again, we do have the survey if you need the cloth masks. Kathy, is that survey still open if somebody hasn't filled it out yet?
It is. So we, although there was a deadline for last week, we definitely welcome more people participating. And I put the link in on the group chat. But also, if you're on the phone or you can't see the chat, you can email me at kathleen.baskin@mass.gov, and I'll send you the survey. We want a lot of participation.
Okay, good. And the only qualifier is one per, you know, drinking water unit. In other words, you know, several people from the same entity, you know, X water department. That would be confusing if you're trying to get people to do one for each system, right?
That would be ideal. Sometimes we've had DPWs from a municipality respond separately from the wastewater treatment plant, for example. That's okay. We'll check in with you to make sure there's no redundancy there, but we want to make sure we capture every person who's involved.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that. And with that, we did get a few questions you know, in this morning, and a number of them we're working on. Some of them I think we have answered, and we'll go through them. But we did get questions about, you know, non-contact thermometers and pulse oximeters. You know, folks are starting to think ahead about, you know, having that in their facilities or at their workplaces, saying they're having a hard time finding them because of demand. You know, again, we will, you know, we understand that, you know, these things are in high demand right now. We will research whether there are, any, you know, outlets or anything that, you know, folks from the command center or MEMA can recommend. Similarly, other types of PPE, we heard about the cloth masks. They're finding it hard, you know, people are finding it hard to find gloves and masks. Again, you know, we're continuing to try to make sure that people are aware of these needs at the various places. And we will continue to, you know, try to make sure that needs are identified. In the meantime, obviously, if anybody has their own suggestions, I know a lot of times on these, well, a couple of times on these calls, we've had people, you know, trading information about the approaches they've tried to get PPE. And so I'd encourage that as well. There was a question about the LCR with schools now not officially now not opening for the remainder of the school year. Is there updated guidance from DEP on how public water systems should handle LCR? And I think we've already addressed this question. I think if you go to our website and look at the answer, you know, we break it up into categories like, you know, safety, sampling, reporting. This is under sampling question and answer number 25. So, Damon, I don't know if you just want to, you know, or Kathy, I don't know if you, you know, just want to summarize what we've said before, but this answer is up and in writing on our website.
Yeah, I don't have the full answer in front of me. This is Damon. But essentially, you know, we recognize that, you know, for the Massachusetts Lead and Copper Program, if you're sampling two schools as part of your community residential LCR program, we recognize that they may not be open and that, you know, we're fine with you pushing that off to later in the year, presuming the schools reopen. If you are yourself a public water system and a school, obviously we don't expect you to be sampling the LCR program while your school is closed. So that's a different conversation because of the fact that if you were due to sample between January and June and you didn't sample before the school was closed, you know, EPA has been pretty specific about requiring that the monitoring should have occurred in the period. So a monitoring violation would be recorded, but that enforcement discretion would be likely from MassDEP.
Okay.
Commissioner, I posted that question and answer in the chat, or it will go up in a second.
Okay, fair enough. All right, thank you for that. Thanks. Okay. Then licensing, when are test centers expected to open? As we just heard from Mike Maynard, you know, the expectation is they will be open on May 18th. The next question was, is there a guideline on backflow testing? Are there going to need to be two RP tests this year for all sites that feasibly have access? I think, once again, I think this question was answered in terms of both the flexibility that DEP is offering on the timing of the two and potentially utilizing the results of one test. And that's on our website. It's in the section inspection and repair, question and answer 9 and question and answer 13. And I might ask, you know, Damon again, is there anything you'd like to highlight on that?
No, nothing particular. Certainly where people just need a reference as to where to look back, that's our best answer, is that we'll give you those references.
Okay.
If great. I could, Commissioner, I think some of these questions are resulting from the fact that some of the delays are continuing longer than planned. And so I think some of these questions, while they came up before, I think some of these people are wondering if the same guidance still stands, given that we're now extending out.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yes, it does.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, no, and that's a helpful clarification. Yeah. And, you know, it's also a good reminder, Jen, that obviously, you know, as time moves on, if things are going to change, we at DEP need to let you know if our point of view on a particular topic is going to change. And so that's a point well taken. There's a question about would DEP waive the owner signature requirement when a backflow test is completed to limit passing back and forth of paperwork and writing implements? And I believe the answer, and again, Kathy and Damon, you know, correct me if I'm not getting this right, but during this emergency time, a tester may document the owner's participation acknowledgement by clearly noting the time and location of the test, the name, phone number, and email of the participating owner, and sending a confirming email to the owner after the test. So yes, you don't need to get the signature and you know, risk not complying with the social distancing requirements. Anything you guys would like to answer on that? Damon or?
No, I think that's our best answer at the moment.
Okay. Then there's one about emergency response training requirements, noting that 310 CMR 22.04 910 requires a plan for annually training staff and local partners in emergency response procedures to ensure they're familiar with the procedures, equipments, and systems. 10 hours is a guideline to assist in developing a plan. We got the comment saying, is there going to be any leeway on the 10 hours? This is a tough requirement with social distancing ongoing, especially if it goes on much longer. Kathy or Damon, I don't know if there's anything you want to highlight on that. I know people are spending a lot of time looking at their emergency response plans because they're in the middle of the COVID emergency. And so I guess, you know, one issue is could some of the time in planning they're doing, you know, help meet that requirement anyway.
Yeah, I think that, you know, that's sort of part of our longer answer is that, you know, our expectation is that you're sharing your emergency response plan with your staff right now. That's all creditable time in terms of the planning and training with them. The 10 hours is actually not in regulation, it's in guidance. So there's nothing strict about 9 hours or 7 hours, but rather over the course of the year, we expect you to keep your employees familiar with your emergency response plan.
Okay, and as you know, given all the time people are spending about emergency response right now, probably people are, you know, more than meeting that requirement. Then the last of the questions that came in early are the one about seasonal systems. Could MassDEP directly in touch with seasonal public water systems to let them know what paperwork they must file if they do not intend to open for the season? Some are not being responsive to contract operators since they're not operating. And Damon, can I just ask you to answer that one?
Yeah, the requirement is actually for seasonal systems to tell us when they do plan to open. I don't believe there's a regulatory requirement to file anything if you don't plan to open. I realize the question is coming from an operator who actually probably is a contractor for that seasonal system, but we are going to do some extra outreach through emails that we have for these systems just to let them know that, you know, there's nothing written in stone that you have to open on the date you opened last year or in that neighborhood, but that if you do plan to reopen at some later date, you still have to follow the seasonal startup and reopening requirements.
Okay. Thanks for that. So the only other thing I'll mention before we open it up to, you know, other questions that might be coming in right now. We did get a question last week that we're still working on. That was the situation where somebody's going in an emergency situation to, you know, deal with a burst pipe or whatever the situation is into a home. And you know, the concern about, you know, finding out either later or not at all that they were in a home where, you know, one of the occupants had COVID, and there was the request made to follow up, with the command center and NEMA and others, do some research on whether or not this information can be shared by the local boards of health with water utilities the way it apparently is being shared with first responders, police and fire and EMS. And we have not gotten an answer back. Like I'm aware of the fact that this is not only a question for your utilities, but there are other utilities that have the same issue where people have to go into a home and, do work as part of their program. And I'm also aware of the fact that there are going to be cases where, inquiring of the residents isn't going to be practical. And so we are still trying to get guidance on that, and we will still, I hope by our next call, we might have, we might have more to say, whatever the answer is. Again, I know health data is not an area that we at the EP spend a lot of time on, but we're trying to get connected to the people who do. On testing, there was one question that came in about, is testing going to be more broadly made for water suppliers and wastewater operators? Again, we don't have a statewide program here. We're going to continue to encourage to work with your local boards of health, with your doctors. If you are encountering a situation where you there are particular individuals that need to be tested and you're coming up short and need some help on that, let us know. But that we don't have a bigger program right now that has been established to deal with this. But again, if there's a unique situation where you need some folks tested, we'll do our best to try to help you in the meantime. Then the last issue is the economics and the stimulus bill. We're seeing the same things you're seeing in the newspapers. We are trying to stay connected with the economic development folks here. We will continue to, share updates. And if you're hearing anything, because some of you are engaging with people that are working on these issues, we'd certainly welcome that information. In terms of what, the timing of that is, it's hard to, it's hard to know, but we will continue to try to pursue that as best we can and try to make sure that we're sharing information with you. So with that, Jen, I might see if there are questions that are coming in that we can talk about either through the email or verbally.
Yep, and as a reminder, if you're on the phone and you can't put a question through chat, you can email it to me at jpederson, P-E-D-E-R-S-O-N, @masswaterworks.org. A follow-up question for Mike Maynard on the testing sites. Even though the testing sites are closed, can people still register for exams for when they open?
I would assume so, but I will check with that and get back to you, Jen, and we'll put a follow up in the questions.
Great, thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Also, a follow up on the seasonal systems. I was just trying to look through my email, but I thought that there was a form that the seasonal systems were supposed to be filling out if they had sort of gone through their initial startup and then weren't going to reopen. Damon, is that the case?
Yeah, so we created a form for actually any system that is closing because of this emergency that was already open, let's say. And that's just to let us know that, we shouldn't expect monitoring for you. Yeah, I think I interpreted the first question as, a currently closed seasonal system that had not yet opened for the season. Did they need to do anything for us in terms of paperwork? And that answer was no. But yes, we'd like to hear from systems that did open and now are closed because of the emergency, and there's a closure form that we've got out there.
And I do believe that I may have not worded that question correctly, but I believe that's what that gets at. If DEP could be in touch with those systems to make sure that they fill out that form.
Okay, thank you.
All right, with that, I don't have any more questions in via email, and There don't appear to be any in the chat. So we could open it up if people have questions that aren't able to either email or put in through the chat. If you want to unmute yourself.
Sure.
All right, I'm not seeing anyone unmuting themselves.
All right, well, we'll again try to keep questions and answers updated. Again, your reminder, Jen, about DEP being mindful if things do start to change in the weeks ahead. Again, you know, we're obviously still, you know, operating under all the emergency strictures, is, you know, and you know, I would anticipate we're going to be for a while, but your reminder is a good one that if things change, you know, that's the value of these kinds of discussions. And it's also important for us to remember that if advice is changing based on changing circumstances, we need to be, you know, consciously thinking about that. In addition, we're going to try to get answers on some of these tougher questions that have not so far lent themselves to easy answers, but we're, you know, I'm in contact every day with our command center liaison. We'll continue to make sure that we are, we're raising the issues and sharing the information. And so, you know, with that, you know, I want to, you know, express my thanks to everybody, not only for being on the call, but as Jane alluded to earlier, for everything you do anyway, both even before this emergency, but certainly during this emergency.
And I too would say that this, with so many people at home, this week provides a great opportunity for the water systems on the call to do a little self-promotion. You all do great work, and it's often unrecognized. And so there are a lot of social media tools out there created by AWWA, the Value of Water campaign. I did send some out through our email list, but if you have an opportunity to get yourself on a social media account and tweet or give a Facebook post just about the importance of water, this week's an excellent week to do it. And so I echo Jane and the commissioner's comments that you all do great work, and you should really give yourselves a pat on the back during Drinking Water Week for keeping the water flowing.
Absolutely. And anything you guys tweet, we have people at DEP that know they're proficient in this. We will retweet and, you know, try to do our own messaging on social media. It's we'll try to make sure we're getting your good word out as much as we can.
Great. Thank you very much, Commissioner. So we'll have the
Thanks
call again next Tuesday at 2 p.m. We'll send out the information for that call.
Great. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.